Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. Usual crew here with you, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks, as we take a look at eight area high school football games and try to make some educated guesses on who may come out on top. We'll take a look back at how we did last week in week seven and then get ready for our week eight picks right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA & Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win here on KJN, brought to you each week by Ag Business Associates and Rush CPA & Associates. We thank them for bringing you Who's Gonna Win throughout this 2019 campaign. Let's take a look here at week number seven and how we fared. We had a couple of 7-1 weeks and a couple of 6-2 weeks here on our sheets. Not too bad last week. We started off with Fremont Mills picking up a win at home as they dominated the second half of that game against East Mills. 58-21, the final. That was a winner for everybody except Matt. He went out on a limb there with the Wolverines, and that one came crashing down. Also, Stanton-Essex picked up a 42-28 win at home over Sydney. We all had Stanton-Essex. We all got that one right. The Cam Cougars dominated from wire to wire against Booyer Valley. 68-14, the final there. We all had Cam, so all got that one right. HSTW, a 34-14 win on the road against Nottoway Valley. We all had the Vikings there, so got that one correct. It was Mount Air with a 35-3 win over Clarinda. That was a winner for everybody except Jim. He went out on a limb there with the Cardinals, and that one came crashing down. Glenwood, a 54-18 win on the road over ADM. We all had the Rams in that one. The next one was a bit of an upset. Harlan getting a win at home over Lewis Central, 14-6, the final in that ball game. We all had the Titans, so we all got that one wrong. And Greene County picked up a 26-0 win over Atlantic at the Trojan Bowl, and we all had Greene County in that one. So it was a 7-1 week for both myself and for Doug, 6-2 for Matt and Jim. Our overall standings now look like this. We've got a tie at the top here, 42-14 for both myself and Jim, 39-17 for Doug, and 36-20 for Matt. So we've got a tight race here as we head down to the last couple of weeks of the regular season and then get into that first round of the playoffs here, not too far down the road. All right, let's get on to week eight here and get after the action. We've got an eight-man game to start off the sheet. I've only got one eight-man game, and I guess I'm going to get to start here because I had the nice 7-1 week last week and now tied atop of the leaderboard. So we've got an interesting game here for you, an eight-man District 8. And Cam at home to take on Coon Rapids Baird. The schedule kind of backloaded here for the Cougars as they have to play two tough games to end the year. And it's just kind of the way it turned out. Coon Rapids Baird, a really good running back, and Jeffrey Eagle, over 1,500 yards, 22 touchdowns. Cam's got some pretty good runners of their own, though. Lane Speaker and Cade Tickner, just a tough couple of runners. Speaker's got that shiftiness, a tough guy to find and bring down just because his kind of center of gravity is pretty low. And then Tickner, just a big body back there that they can hand it off to. And that line up front is what is most impressive here about the Cougars so far, I think. They've got three guys that they brought back at the same exact positions on that offensive line, and they've really been paving the way for the Cougars to get things done. This is a much, I think, bigger test than they have experienced so far this year. Of course, if they're able to get the win, they're on a collision course with a district championship on the line against Audubon the next week. So I think they know what's in sight. And I think Coach Woolham has got them pretty focused right now, and they're just playing really well. I was very impressed with how they just dominated that game last week against Booyer Valley. This will be a tough one, but I think the Cougars are going to edge it out. I'm going to give the edge to the home team here and take Cam. Jim.
Very good. Yeah, Coon Rapids Baird getting some pretty good seasons out of their quarterback, their running back, Jeffrey Eagle, a running back. He's 5'10", 180 pounds, not the biggest guy back there, but he's gigantic compared to the quarterback. Kid weighs 140 pounds back there, Peyton Clipperton, not a very big guy. They're getting a lot of production out of these guys, though. And, yeah, they have had a little better schedule so far. They've largely played the same teams, but they've played some of the tougher teams already. You mentioned Speaker and Tickner. I'm going to add Ethan Arp to that mix, mm-hmm. too, because when you take the three of them running out of the backfield and combine their numbers, they're averaging the three of them combined 10 yards a carry. How do you beat a team that averages 10 yards a carry? I don't think you do. I like Cam. I just think they're very athletic. I think there's something about momentum, and they've got a lot of that here this year. And they're very shifty when they run the football. They're very hard to tackle. And they do create a lot of turnovers and give themselves a lot of options. I like Cam.
All right, two for the Cougars. Doug?
Well, you mentioned the running back for Coon Rapids, 5'10", 180. He's got 200 attempts, 200 carries on the season. You know, in seven games, about 30 attempts a game. That's a lot of work for a 5'10", 180 running back. I like Cam as well. You know, they're playing at home. I just want to avoid the look ahead to Audubon next week. But, you know, Coon Rapids only lost one game, so they can't afford to do that. So I'm going to take the Cougars.
All right. That's another one for Cam. Matt?
Okay, yeah, dandy ball game, home field advantage this week, I think, for Cam. So I'm going to take the Cougars at home.
All right.
Did you just drop a dandy on us?
Dandy.
All right.
Dandy.
No, I'm going to have to replay
that. Be a dandy next week, too. Cam Naughty.
Dandy game.
Dandy.
All right. That's our only 8-man game on the sheet here this week. We're going to dive right into 11-man play as we go to Class A District 10 here for our next one. And it's Westwood on the road to take on Tri-Center. Jim, you get first crack here at this one.
All right, very good. Well, Bryson Freeberg, quarterback for Tri-Center, is having a real nice year. He's moving the ball well. He's throwing the ball pretty well. He's protecting it for the most part. But they just haven't been able to get over the hump week after week. Westwood's having a real fine year. And I noticed the one loss that Westwood has had been to Woodbury Central. They actually won the turnover battle 4-2 and still lost the ball game. It's kind of hard to do sometimes, but they do create turnovers. They do take the ball away quite a bit. Tri-Center moves the ball through the air, and Westwood, just two guys, Luke Lyon and Sam Miller, have combined for 12 interceptions on the season. Those guys are tough to throw the ball by. I'm going to take Westwood on the road here.
All right, it's one for Westwood. Doug?
Yeah, and you're talking about their turnover defense, just the points allowed. They've been really, really stingy on defense. Have not allowed a lot of scoring. The one loss to Woodbury Central, I think Woodbury Central is either undefeated or 6-1-2. So that was a loss against a tough team. I'm going to take the visiting Westwood Warriors?
Rebels.
Rebels. Rebels, okay.
Westwood of Sloan.
Yes.
All right. It's two for Westwood.
Okay. All right. Freebird. Everybody loves the Freebird, right? Play more Freebird.
Freebird.
So we're going with Freebird this week. Tri-Center, again, that's a little bit of a trip for the Slow Knights up there. And I'm going to go with the Trojans at home.
All right. That's another one there for That's one for Tri-Center to mix it up.
And now a Freebird.
Yeah.
Freebird. All right. We didn't even mention Doug's favorite player, Braulio.
Oh, I forgot about Braulio.
Braulio, 605 yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground there for Westwood. He's part of that kind of running attack. They've got a couple guys that are over 500 yards. They really like to keep it on the ground for the most part. You mentioned Freeburg having a good season for Tri-Center. This is an interesting game. Tri-Center's kind of had an up-and-down year. They really had that tough stretch run where they had three straight really tough ball games. This is going to be one that'll probably come down to the wire. But I think I'm leaning here with Jim and Doug. I think that the defense is a little bit tougher here for Westwood. They've been able to execute a little bit better in some of those bigger-time matchups, and I'm going to give the edge here to the Rebels. So I'll leave Matt out there on a limb. All right, that's our first two games here for this week. In week number 8, we will take a break and come back and talk more in Class A here in just a moment on who's going to win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA & Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA, now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. We dive into Class A District 9 now for a couple of contests. And our first one will be our broadcast game here tonight as HSTW is at home to take on Southwest Valley. A couple teams pretty similar spot in their seasons right now. A couple young teams as well. Doug, who's going to win?
Yeah, you know, the Vikings, their record isn't what they're used to having here the last couple years. But again, you mentioned, Chris, is the youth. You know, they've got another Pauly running the ball. Denver Pauly's having a pretty good season toting the rock, so to speak. I just think they need to avoid interceptions. You know, they have shown a tendency to turn the ball over through the air. But they have about 900 yards passing, too. So, you know, they can have some success that way. And I just like them playing at home.
All right. It's one for the Vikings. Matt?
Okay. Yeah. You know, like I said, we saw HSTW earlier in the season when they came down and scrimmaged the Atlantic Trojans here. So, I've kind of liked the way they've just slowly progressed over the years, or over the season. You know, they've just kind of stayed true to themselves and have done a decent job of filling a lot of the gaps that they had in there. So I look for them to pick up a victory this week.
All right. It's another one for the Vikings. I guess these are two teams that are really actually pretty similar. You look at it, Southwest Valley, they're all loaded basically with a bunch of freshmen and sophomores that they're playing this year. They only have a few juniors that are actually in the mix. They had talked with their head coach, Anthony Donahue, and he said that, you know, they're kind of looking at this as the start of an 11-game season. We know everybody's coming back, so let's build here for next year these last couple of games. They've had a pretty good quarterback there in Brendan Knapp. They like to run a little bit of options, so it makes, you know, a little bit something different to prepare for. But HSTW has always been a sound defensive ball club. They usually have some pretty good guys that can roam around there at that linebacker spot and play pretty, you know, good assignment football. Denver Pauly's been good. Jackson Waltman, another option for them there in the backfield. I think the Vikings have just kind of steadily gotten a little bit better as the season has gone along and are starting to, you know, get back into the groove of things once again with this young team. So I'm going to give the edge of the home team as well. I like HSTW. Jim.
All right, I just found it interesting. HSTW has they have 4 wins on the year. 3 of those 4 are on the road. So this is their last home game. So I'm kind of thinking that might be motivation for them to go out on a high note and, you know, show off a little bit to the fans. Southwest Valley, are you okay over there?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Southwest Valley hasn't created a ton of turnovers this year. So I just guess I kind of think along the same lines as you guys. I think if AHSTW protects the ball and goes out and plays the way they can, I think they get the job done.
All right, another one for the Vikings, sweeping that one. And again, that'll be our broadcast game coming up here tonight, pregame getting going after we're done here with the program. We've got another Class A District 9 matchup as St. Albert goes on the road to take on Nottoway Valley. And, Matt, you'll get first crack here.
Okay. Well, yeah, St. Albert, a little bit of a trip from Council Bluffs, clear over here to Greenfield area. But I think, you know, St. Albert, once they've gotten into district play here, have done a nice job. They, you know, kind of built their schedule to create some tough games at the beginning of the season, which they were able to get through there. So I'm going to go with St. Albert. A little slow start last week against Riverside, but I think they can still come out and get the job done this week.
All right. It's one there for the Falcons. And, yeah, I kind of wrote down for both these teams. It's like, where's the offense at? They both have really struggled to try to figure out what is going to work for them. And you see a number of guys that they're trying to get the ball to involved, especially St. Albert. They've mixed up some positions from time to time to try to figure out what is going to work for them. But I think the advantage they have here is they're kind of trending in a positive direction, whereas Nottoway Valley's taken a couple of losses here recently. St. Albert's gotten back on track with a couple of wins. So I think they have a little bit of the momentum edge. So I'm going to take St. Albert here on the road as well. Jim?
I got no clue. I don't know what to think about these two teams, quite honestly. St. Albert is 1-3 on the road. Nottoway Valley's 1-3 at home. I guess nobody wants to win this game tonight. I have no idea. St. Albert has beaten Southwest Valley and Riverside. Nottoway Valley has lost to Southwest Valley and Riverside. But then I look at the other side of the coin, too. Nottoway Valley moves the ball. They got tons of passing yardage. But they end up turning the ball over a lot of those times, too. On the other side, St. Albert can't get out of their own way on offense. I mean, their leading rusher has 174 yards. I mean, there's nothing there offensively. So I don't know. I guess I'm just going to follow along with you guys and say St. Albert. Why not? I have no idea. Nottoway Valley might go out and run them up. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that was one of the interesting things, too, that I had mentioned when I was talking to Coach Donahue from Southwest Valley. He said, you go back and look at the stats for that game that we played against St. Albert, and they had like 100 and some yards of offense. And we had 300 some yards of offense, but we just couldn't get in the end zone when we got down there. We just didn't score. So, you know, sometimes it's the way it goes. Doug.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know. That was my thought, too. I was looking at quick stats earlier, and I don't know if St. Albert has avoided putting in statistics for their games or what. But, I mean, I think the leading rushing and receiving total was 280 yards. I mean, for the, you know, the I just don't know where they're scoring, how they're scoring their points. You know, I think they have scored some on, you know, on turnovers, had good field position maybe. I don't know if they've had some kickoff or punt returns for touchdowns. I just don't know. But I do like the way that they're progressing throughout the season. I'm not going to go against the trend.
All right. St. Albert across the board there in that one. We go to Class 1A, District 8, and this should be a good matchup. Panorama goes on the road to take on ACGC and a couple of 6-1 squads here on the season. I guess I get a first look here at this one. This should be a good ball game. ACGC, of course, loves to keep the football on the ground. They have done a really good job of getting that running game going. They've got, of course, their leading rusher averaging over 6 yards per carry. The guy that's second on the team that also has 765 yards on the ground is averaging about 11 yards per carry. So they really have done a good job in taking advantage when they have the opportunity to kind of outpower some of their opponents. Panorama, though, a good team. Dominic Walker has been able to spread it out there at the quarterback spot. He's got 7 touchdowns through the air, and then he's rushed for 5 more. They've been kind of a balanced team. You know, they've got more guys, I think, that they can spread it out to. And it's going to be a battle of, you know, I guess what kind of style wins out. Is it that rushing attack for ACGC, or is it Panorama's kind of short passing game? Panorama was able to hang a little bit last week with Van Meter. They didn't put any points on the board, but they kept the game fairly close. So I think Panorama's got a little bit more in the tank here, so I'm going to give them the edge. Who knows? The home field might be what does it over for ACGC, but I'll give Panorama the edge here in this one. Jim?
All right, very good. Yeah, I think Panorama's played just a slightly better schedule. You know, the wins over Mount Air, I-35, those are both pretty decent wins for them. But ACGC, I think their ground game has really come on. I think there's a lot of momentum that's been building there, and I think they know they see their schedule. They've got this, and they've got a big one next week. They know their two big games are down the road. So, you know, if you can focus for 2 weeks, you got a chance to do something here. I'm going to go out maybe on a limb here. We'll see. I'm going to take ACGC at home.
All right. It's one there for the Chargers. Doug?
I don't know. All I know is when ACGC's on the schedule, I pick wrong. So
then pick Panorama.
Well, I'm going to pick Panorama, and I'm sure that will assure ACGC of a win and Jim of a win. But I'm going to take Panorama. I just think got a little bit stingier defense maybe. I don't know. I'm going to go with them.
All right. That's another one there for Panorama. Matt?
If I get the last pick, I get to either create the tie or throw Jim out there, huh? Yeah, a lot of things you guys have said is looking through everything there. This is definitely one of those games where, you know, I'm kind of glad I got to go last to get that final pick. But, you know, still at this point, I'm still not sure which direction to go there. So,
well, if you pick ACGC and then you put an A down on the – I'll put an A down for you, and then it'll say Papa, P-A-P-A. That's how I would do it.
Seems logical.
That's the kind of scientific stuff you get here on who's going to win.
Yes. Well, when I put mine down, I put the Bolt in there for the ACGC.
I just put A down. I mean, I just the first letter.
No artwork to yours.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm going to – boy, still not quite sure there.
Still a half-hour show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got time, yeah.
Do we have the Jeopardy? Cue the Jeopardy music.
don't have the bell sound effect, so
I'll go with Jim on this with the ACGC, so Doug can have his papa on his sheet. maybe I'll pick up a game on Chris and Doug, and eventually, maybe if I don't get to the top, it just becomes more about not being on the bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Perfect. There you go.
Huh?
Of the leaderboard. How did I get this so far behind?
I don't know. What'd you do?
Seven games. I don't know. Six games. Crazy.
All right. So we've got that one split up there. What, two apiece. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, real must big. Be.
Don't they say that's first to worst?
Yeah. First to worst. Pretty. Yeah. Yeah. Just a slow bleed, I think.
Because that engraving didn't get done fast enough for him,
exactly,
so he's all
right.
Worried about it.
Yeah.
All right. A couple more games here. One more game before we take a break here. We've got a matchup here in Class 2A District 9 as Kemper Catholic goes on the road to take on OABCIG, Knights and the Falcons. And let's see, Jim gets first look here.
All right. Well, since we're pressed for time now, I'll make this easy. O-Big, win big.
All right. One for OABCIG.
I'd say as long as they have Cooper Gene back there toting or throwing the ball and carrying the ball, I'm going to take them as well.
All right, it's two for the Falcons. Matt?
Yeah, I knew that this would be a quick decision, so that's why I spent some time in the last one. So, I'm going to go with Oldville Arthur and Battle Creek, and let's throw some Ida Grove in there, too.
Why not? Yeah, alphabet soup. All right, yeah, I don't think this one's going to be all that close. Yeah, Cooper DeGene at home. He's been making good decisions, and Kemper Catholic's just really kind of been inconsistent. They haven't gotten the consistent play they need from their star players, so I'll go with the Falcons pretty big in that one.
Yeah, just don't have the swagger.
Yeah, no swagger. A couple more games left here on our sheet to try to pick here, and we will do that right after we take a quick timeout.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA & Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. We've got two more games left here on the sheet. And first one, we're going to go to Class 3A here first in 3A District 9. And all of a sudden, a very big game. Lewis Central 6-1, Glenwood 6-1. This is probably for the district championship. Doug, who's going to win?
Well, I don't think there was a more shocking game last week than the LC Harlan game. You guys almost goaded me into picking Harlan for the Lim pick last week. I wish I would have, but I don't know. I don't know if LC's got some guys that are out. They've got a stud. I mean, they've got studs up and down the lineup, but, they've got a great tight end in Thomas Fidone, getting a lot of recruiting interest from him. Every day in my Twitter feed, his name pops up with another full ride scholarship offer from some D1 college. On the other hand, Glenwood, Zach Carr is having himself a season. He's got 150 passing attempts, one interception. So he has really been protecting the ball. I've just got to imagine that LC's athleticism and the success they've had early in the season is going to carry over this game. Glenwood's been playing well, though, but I'm going to take LC in a tight game.
All right, that's one for Lewis Central. Matt?
Is it a matter of LC waking up from last week and getting the job done? But, there's no other team out there than Glenwood that when they saw that score, were real excited because, kind of paved the way for them sitting out there. And they – Seemed to go over to his ADM last week.
Yeah.
And just really took care of business right out of the gate and went after it. So I'm going to go with Glenwood on this one. There's no love lost between these two teams, but I just think Glenwood just has some momentum right now. I think they saw that, and they're, you know, Coach Faust is going to keep them pretty focused on what's available to them. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right. It's one there for Glenwood. Yeah, it's just all of a sudden, it becomes a big different story because last week I never would have really given Harlan a chance to win that game against Lewis Central, but they came out, played well, and got it done there at home. And yeah, it sounded like Lewis Central maybe had a couple of guys that were kind of dinged up throughout that game, and I don't know what the status is of that moving forward for them. But, you know, the credit I'm going to give to Corey Faust is he's had his guys ready for the big moment so far. They needed to win that game at home against Harlan. They got it done. You're afraid of a little bit of a hangover with a long road trip to ADM. They showed no signs of that at all and came out and just dominated the game. And Zach Carr's playing as well as he has throughout his career. I think they've just got everything kind of clicking at the right time, and they understand, you know, this is a chance that they haven't had to have in a long time to have a season like this if they're able to pick up this win. So I'm going to give an edge to the Rams as well. I think they're going to go out there with a chip on their shoulder and get this one done. Jim?
Yeah, before last week, this game was a slam dunk for me. I'm taking Lewis Central, period. End of story, not even discussing it or talking or looking at it. But then last week happened. And as you guys have all alluded to, Zach Carr has come up big in big games. The Harlan game, ADM game, the Winterset game. Winterset's mm-hmm. a nice ball club. They fell behind big on the road, rallied back, and were able to come back and win that ball game. Yeah, I think Glenwood's got a real opportunity in front of them right now that they know they've been handed, and I think they're going to take care of it here this week. I'm going to take Glenwood to win a tight one.
All right. It should be a good ball game to keep track of here.
Lim pick with LC. All right, I'll take it. Jeez. Limbs haven't been too kind.
But they haven't been kind to him. That's true, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he gets the Harlan limb picks at the wrong time, so maybe the Lewis Central will be on the wrong time here, too. We've got one more game here left. The 2A District 9 matchup is Atlantic is home once again here this week at the Trojan Bowl to take on Shenandoah, a couple 2-5 squads. Matt, who's going to win?
Well, this is the final home game here for the Trojan Bowl configuration. Final home game of the season for the Trojans. I'm going to go with the Trojans. I think you've got Shenandoah likes to, in the past, they've, you know, pretty much been predominantly run, double wing offense. This year, they go a lot out of shotgun and try to spread you out across the field and get things done that way. But at the end of the day, I think Atlantic just has a few more weapons. I think you'll see them put a little bit of pressure, very similar to what they did against Kemper up front a few weeks ago. And keep that pressure on the quarterback and make him make quick decisions that he doesn't want to make. So I'm going to go with the Trojans at home.
All right. It's one there for Atlantic. Yeah, you know, kind of an interesting night. They're hoping that a lot of the old former players come back. They're encouraging them to do that, to take a big picture on the field after the game and kind of celebrate, you know, what it is this year is the anniversary of Trojan football. And then, of course, the last game before the Trojan Bowl changes a little bit. But I wrote down, you know, it's kind of this is one of those games. Who's improved the most? Who's been able to kind of take their lumps and figure it out from here? Obviously, Atlantic's had a tough little stretch here in the schedule with back-to-back games against the two best teams in the district. And now they get a chance to try to bounce back. And I think they do that here against the Shenandoah team. Tyler Moen, I think, will have a lot of success on the ground. And if you can get some of those other guys involved in the offense, Atlantic does have more weapons, I think, than Shenandoah does. So I'll go with the Trojans. Jim?
Yeah, same thing. I think Atlantic's played better against like opponents this year, like Obig and Clorinda. Atlantic may not have always, you know, the scoreboard may not have looked that great, but they move the football. They do some things. They may not always get it in the end zone at the end of the day, but I just think they've done a lot more than Shenandoah has this year. So, yeah, Trojans win it.
All right. Doug?
Yeah, you know, Atlantic had two tough opponents the last 2 weeks and came up on the short end of the stick, but I think they competed. You know, it was, 28-0, 26-0, I think, something like that, both those games. So, you know, they weren't blowouts by any means. I remember a few years ago when we lost some games 50 or 60-0. So, you know, they're definitely competing, trending the right way. I think they look at these last two games against Shenandoah and Red Oak as games certainly that they should win and can win, and I think they're going to go out with a bang at the Trojan Bowl tonight.
All right, so Trojans across the board there for that one.
Since Mr. Leonard's our only alumni, you know, favorite memory from the Trojan Bowl of your playing days or any?
Wow.
Puts you on the spot.
Well, that's, you know, you should have given me a little bit of heads up on that. I remember it was as sophomores, you know, we were the Green Machine, the practice squad, and we got to play against Scott Davis from Glenwood. You know, Scott Davis was a big stud football player. I think played at Iowa, didn't he?
Yeah.
And played in the NFL. And then I remember trying to avoid him at all costs. He was big in high school, and I was not.
So you used every square inch of that Trojan Bowl field.
I don't think they gave me the ball, which was, I'm glad. I didn't get it.
Did some quick research. Okay. Two limb picks on the sheet this week. Those would be number 19 and 20. So far this year, limb picks are 3 and 15.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's rough.
Not good.
All right. We'll see how it comes out. Should be interesting. That's week 8 here. Who's going to win? We want to thank Ag Business Associates and Rush CPA and Associates for bringing you the program all year long. And stay tuned. We've got HSTW playing host to Southwest Valley coming up here next as our broadcast game tonight. That's going to do it for Who's Going to Win here on KJAN.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA and Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return and will scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.